In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Your devout attention is directed to the reading of the Passion History of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as this has been compiled according to the four evangelists. The 11th scripture reading. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome, the mother of Zebedee's children, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Here endeth the 11th scripture lesson. Let us now sing hymn 178. The 12th Scripture Lesson. Now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, a rich man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, Joseph, a counselor, a good man and a just, the same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God and was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. This man came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and besought him that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph and commanded the body to be delivered. And Joseph bought fine linen. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wrapped it in the clean linen cloth and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, Joseph's own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And they rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of Joses, sitting over against the sepulchre. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Here endeth the passion history of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, verses 31 to 37, and reads as follows. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. Two Wednesdays ago, in this Lenten series focusing on Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, we considered how the Passover lamb symbolized and foreshadowed various things about Jesus and his redemptive work. You will remember that the Passover lamb needed to be a young male lamb that was killed, as Jesus was a young man, only in his early 30s when he was killed. The Passover lamb needed to be without blemish or spot, just as Jesus was without blemish and spot in all things concerning the holy law of God. The blood of the Passover lamb, painted on the doorposts and lintels, saved the children of Israel from the plague of death in Egypt, as the blood of Christ saves us from eternal death in hell. But there is one other aspect of the Passover lamb that we did not consider 2 weeks ago when we looked at these other things, and that is this: that according to the strict command of God, the Passover lamb was not to have any of its bones broken. We read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, in one house shall it, the Passover lamb, be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Likewise, in Numbers 9, verse 12, we read, they shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover shall they keep it. And it is this detail of Passover lamb symbolism that we see fulfilled in our text for this evening. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text, focus upon the fact that the Lamb of God kept his bones unbroken. And may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. According to the Old Testament ceremonial laws, every Sabbath day, Saturday, was a special day of rest. Additionally, the Sabbath that followed Jesus' death was an extra special Sabbath because it occurred during the Feast of Unleavened Bread in connection with the Passover. It would have been ceremonially unclean to have dead bodies, the bodies of the crucified victims, hanging on the cross still on the Sabbath. So the religious leaders of the Jews asked Pilate to finish them off quickly, break their legs, so that then their dead bodies could be removed before the onset of the Sabbath, which according to the way the Jews reckoned their days would have been what we call 6 p.m. on Friday. We read in the first verse of our text, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." But what exactly was the point of breaking the legs? It actually makes perfect sense if we remember how crucifixion killed people. Now, obviously, you know that when a person is crucified, his arms are stretched out wide and he's affixed to the cross with large metal spikes. But after the hands and feet have been fastened to the cross and the cross is stood upright, the weight of the body causes the shoulders and elbows to become dislocated. And it becomes very hard to breathe. Actually, it's impossible to breathe in that position without being able to give a little bit of help from your legs. So as long as there was any strength in the legs would just automatically, to provide air to the body, give a little bit of a boost. But the legs wouldn't be able to continue to do that indefinitely. Eventually, all strength would be gone. And once that happened, the person would die. But that could take days under normal circumstances. So, to finish them off quickly, the Jews besought Pilate to have their legs broken. They would no longer be able to lift up to get breaths, and they would die. But we learn in our text that order was only carried out on two of those who were crucified. We read, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." There was no point. Remember, the whole purpose of breaking the legs was to bring on death. Jesus was already dead. Now, Pilate didn't know that at the time he gave the order. Pilate did not expect Jesus to die that quickly. No one expected him to die that quickly. But remember that Jesus brought his life to an end after he knew that he had fully accomplished man's redemption. And the Bible tells us that the way Jesus died, right at the time that he wanted to, impressed the centurion, surprised the centurion, shocked him, amazed him. He would have seen plenty of crucifixions, but never one like that. We read in the Gospel according to St. Mark, "When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he," Jesus, "so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" It is really quite an amazing fact to consider that with all the torture that Jesus' body was put through, not one of his bones were broken. The legs of the two malefactors on the right and the left of Jesus were broken, but not Jesus. And that simple fact that the Roman soldiers did not break the legs of Jesus fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy. We read in our text, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, 'A bone of him shall not be broken.'" Now, the Old Testament Bible passage that is normally referred to here in this regard is Psalm 34, verse 20, which says, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." But also remember, as was mentioned earlier, the verses that refer to the Passover lamb as not having any bones broken. And since the Passover lamb was a clear symbol of Christ and the deliverance from death that we have through his blood, it also fulfilled that foreshadow. Though the soldiers did not break any of Jesus' bones, we learn from our text that one of them did pierce his side with a spear. Now remember, at that point, Jesus was already dead, so this did not cause Jesus any more pain. His suffering was done by then. It was done simply to ensure that Jesus had actually died. He definitely looked dead, and he was, which is why the soldiers didn't break his legs, but just to gather extra proof. A soldier pierced his side with a spear. Our text says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." It is generally assumed that the spear of the soldier entered Jesus' side, but was directed upward toward his heart, piercing his heart, causing the separated red blood and the clear fluid to flow forth. And John stresses the accuracy of what he himself witnessed on this occasion. Our text says, "And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe." We absolutely are to believe this and everything the Bible says, because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything that the prophets, apostles, and evangelists wrote is the verbally inspired word of God, word for word from God himself, and therefore completely accurate. They did not invent any of these teachings. They didn't just come up with a story. This is God's perfect record of the history. Since the Bible is the inspired word of God himself, we should absolutely trust everything recorded therein. We should not do as many so-called Christians do nowadays and only accept the things of the Bible that seem reasonable to us or that especially appeal to our way of thinking. No, we have to admit there are things in the Bible that we simply cannot understand, but we still accept them because it's in the Bible. It's true. And one of the things that shows the Bible to be the absolutely true, reliable Word of God is how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit so perfectly together. And the New Testament explains many of the Old Testament foreshadows and symbols, such as with the Passover lamb. Now, we already noted how the fact that Jesus didn't have his bones broken fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy and foreshadow. But our text also mentions that there was another prophecy fulfilled in the fact that his body was pierced with a spear. Our text says, "And again, scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." And that is a reference to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, where the Lord God himself says that he will be pierced and the people will look upon him. Now, the way that we accept the Bible to be the infallible, always true Word of God is generally mocked by the unbelieving world around us. And they are not impressed by how the Old Testament prophecies and foreshadows are fulfilled in the New Testament, since they believe that the New Testament was just made up, concocted by the mind of man, to make it look like those Old Testament prophecies and foreshadows were fulfilled in Christ. So then how can we convince them that the Bible is the true Word of God? Well, actually, we can't. That is something only the Holy Ghost can do. And he does it through the power of his word, through the very word that natural man regards as foolishness. The reason why you and I accept the Bible to be the true Word of God is not because we just decided to believe it. Nobody can just decide to believe the Bible. But because the Holy Ghost works saving faith in our hearts. He brought us to the knowledge and trust in the Lord Jesus as our dear Savior, and along with that, trust in all that the Bible teaches. While it is true that the gospel zeroes in and focuses on the passion history of the Savior, and this is more clearly revealed in the New Testament than the Old, yet it is also true that it was found over and over again in the Old Testament scriptures too. Many prophets wrote many things concerning the redemptive work of Christ. And as has been our focus in this year's Lenten series, many foreshadows and pictures of the Savior had been given in the various lambs and animal sacrifices. Those ceremonial observances, including the Passover, were part of the ceremonial laws that God gave his people in the Old Testament, and yet at the same time, though they were laws God gave, they were also very much gospel because they were picturing Christ and the forgiveness of sins, salvation that we have through him. The Passover lamb reminded the people in the Old Testament about the grace that God had given them in saving them from the plague of death in Egypt. But more importantly, it pointed them forward to the saving grace that would be secured for them by Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Even that little detail in our text about Jesus' bones not being broken had been foreshadowed in the Passover lamb. So yes, this seemingly insignificant historical footnote recorded by the evangelist John in our text is significant. None of Jesus' bones were broken. Through all that he suffered, God preserved each of his bones intact. And that gives more proof that Jesus is the Messiah, foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. This one little event of Jesus not having his bones broken show both him to be the legitimate Messiah, the actual Savior foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, and the authoritative truthfulness of Holy Scripture. It all fits together perfectly, without flaw, without error, without contradiction. Pondering and meditating upon the way that all the Old Testament prophecies and foreshadows were so perfectly fulfilled in Christ should impress these important points upon our minds. And that it's not just kind of interesting to think about, but crucial for our salvation, acknowledging Jesus to be the one and only Savior, foretold and foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and acknowledging the Scriptures to be the always true Word of God. Those things are crucial to the Christian faith, and they're borne out in our text. So let these points of Scripture really impress themselves on your mind and heart. Rejoice that you can always believe everything that's in the Bible. Rejoice that Jesus is the Savior promised for the world. And as the Savior of the world, he's your Savior from sin. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dearest Savior Jesus Christ, make us truly thankful that thou hast earned for us the forgiveness of all our sins by thy perfect life and by thine innocent suffering and death. And bless the offering of thanksgiving which we now place before thee to the honor of thy holy name. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord God, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, and who of thine infinite goodness didst deliver up thine only begotten Son into death as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. For his sake, remember not our ingratitude and indifference to thy word, but have mercy upon us. Forgive us all our sins, and bestow upon us the joy of thy salvation. Help us to have a heartfelt sorrow for all our sins, repenting of them daily with sincere faith in Jesus as our only mediator and redeemer, who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities. Let us daily meditate upon his bitter suffering and death, how that in his death we have life, in his righteousness we have salvation. Grant us the fullness of thy Holy Spirit, that loving thee with all our heart, we may live our lives in humble obedience to thy word. Teach us to love one another, as our dear Savior hath loved us, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the multitude of mankind. Help us likewise to love our enemies, and from our hearts to forgive every one his trespasses against us. Help us also patiently to endure all the trials and afflictions of life, that having suffered with him, we may be glorified with him. Hear all those who cry unto thee in sorrow and distress, and relieve them according to their various needs. Bestow thine abundant blessings upon the preaching and teaching of thy word, that others may find in Jesus, our crucified Savior, their great high priest, the sacrifice for their sins. May the preaching of thy cross become a message of thy peace and power unto the ends of the earth, that the nations that sit in darkness may be enlightened by thy Holy Spirit to recognize Jesus as a righteous man and the Son of God, who by his substitutional sacrifice on the cross delivered also them from their sins, that they may glorify thy gracious name with all thy saints forever. Help all ministers of thy word to preach, in season and out of season, Christ and him crucified, calling sinners to repentance and believers to rejoice in thy salvation. May the sacrifice of thy dear Son on the altar of the cross be our greatest comfort throughout our lives, and especially in our last hour. And may we all, when our last hour comes, depart in peace, to rise with him in glory everlasting, in whose name we furthermore pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Christ, our great and merciful High Priest, who did sacrifice thyself for us on the accursed tree of the cross, as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, thou didst, by shedding thy precious blood, deliver us from sin, death, Satan, and hell, and didst earn for us and for all people the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Enable us by thy Holy Spirit to comfort ourselves at all times in true faith with thy perfect sacrifice on Golgotha, that through thy bitter suffering, death, and burial, we may praise and glorify thee for thine unspeakable love, and day by day show our love for thee in our lives, and also to bear our cross in this world, and to follow after thee with patience and humility, that finally we may be raised to be together with thee in glory everlasting, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 5 of hymn 560.